conversazione. September 1910. Yes, yes, I had seven brothers and two sisters.
And where were you in this line?
I was the youngest. I was in the state. My mother was 45 when I was born. And in those days, it was a big family, you see. And I grew up more or less in the only one because in those days, way back in 1910, 40, kids used to go to school and they were 14 and went to work, didn't they? The girls used to go into domestic service. And I grew up more or less as an only one. The next one to me was a sister, and she was 3 years older than me. And well, I don't know how old my eldest one would be, but he was away. You see, but they lived on the estate belonging to the Duke of Northumberland, or the St. John, the Stanwick estate. And that was the Northumberland family. And, all these people used to work on the estate, you know, at least they formed the village, anyway. And that was very interesting. The old duchess, as they used to talk about her, the great reverence. She spent a lot of her time at Stanwick. They had the estate of Alpanic, you know. But she spent a lot of time at Stanwick Hall.
What did your father do?
He was a carpenter on the estate. Yeah. And I was very fond of my father. But nothing I liked better when I wasn't at school was to be helping him while he was working. Fencing or whatever we were doing. I learned a lot from him as well. Yes, I would say so. My fellows used to do it, you know, but they didn't have a bad time. They were very, very treated. They were paid very low wages, mind you. The man we were talking about, when she had four children, and he made 14 shillings a week or something like that.
You were living in the same house?
Yes.
Did you have to pay rent for it?
No. No, it was part of the rent, you see. The living was that thing. There was no. The estate was sold in 1921. And they tried to sell it as a whole, but of course they didn't get the price they wanted, so they had to put made it into various lots. And there was an awful lot of timber around Morgan and Stanwick. Very good timber. Woods. And we tried, there was a timber firm called, locally called the 40 Thieves. They were very bad lot. Bought timber wherever they are. However they could get it, they would get it and chop it all down. And then they planted it, of course. And it was placing, it would be a big placing, so well known idea.
It must
have
been difficult
for your friends, but you took them out of family. I don't know how they did it. Because the women, I mean, the women didn't go out to work then.
You
know the people? No. No, she didn't. So they had their own income. Of course, you have your own garden, you know, all your vegetables, and of course, rent free. But they must have, they didn't have much to spare.
How large is that?
Just a normal cottage. We went to 19, it was 1914, the war broke out. And we moved from an old house just behind the pool. Quite an old house. But the estate had built four houses along by the school. There's a pub over here, the school over there, and there's a row of houses in the building new four houses, he said. And we were the first to go into these new houses. We had all been in the year the war broke out. Poor two. Because they'd just finished building them. They were nice houses. They're still there. And when the estate was sold, all the tenants of the property, the land of the estate, had the chance to buy their property they were in very cheaply. But the four houses that were along by the school, we were living in one of them, and there was a land owner, the big family, and the little Mercerville, lived in a hall. And he bought the row of houses for work people, farm people. So we had to look for something else, and farm people. I saved a bit of money, and I'll tell you how they saved money. The only way they did save money was a quart dividend. My mother never dealt it out. So that's the only way they saved. And so they had to look at another house in the village, which they could buy cheaply. And there was a house which was two thirds of an acre of the garden. So the father was out, the estate closed in 1921, he made 50 something. So he was still a little working, you see. Man, you were a bit crippled with half-life. And put down this big garden, and they bought this. They were able to buy a house, a very nice house, for £250. They bought in the house, well built, two-thirds of the ground. And we moved into that house when I was 9 years old. They were a very, very happy family. They used to get together at Christmas, put out fairs for years and years and years. I had a sister whose birthday was Boxing Day, so which was also a holiday birthday. Really, really sort of thing. So they used to get by, then they were scattered around. And one of the brothers was very badly smashed up. In the First World War, and he spent most of his time in hospital after the war. For years he was in hospital, and very smashed up around the head, false jaw, and finally lost his eye. He had a good training actually. You see, we didn't get much education. You went to the village school and you left at 14, and if you were in art, you went to do a job when you left school, and that was it. I never heard of this passing to high school or anything like that.
You said you enjoyed school
now? Oh, I did. I loved it. I didn't want to leave school. We lived just close to it, and the village green, you know. Well, I've been very happy at school. I was always a bit backward in growth. But I was supposed to be little. But the headmaster used to tell me when good stuff packed into the parties and all. And I was happy at school, very happy. And I was a very good little singer. I had a very good voice as a child, as a voice of piano. And of course, my three brothers being in the army, and the way they used to get leave, you know, when they came back from France on leave, from France. And of course, they were my idols, weren't they? Oh, being ours. I remember them as 4th Yorkshiremen, 4th Yorks. And it's only just recently that they sorted it out, and there was a big demonstration down there. There was a big talking to somebody. I said, I remember my brothers being in the Fourth Rocks. This was all I could remember as a kid. And of course, that was a branch of the Reynolds. They only got the name Reynolds in 1920-something. So they were just Yorkshire regiments before that in the First World War. And of course, I used to hang on every word when I was home on the roof. And I used to pick up songs in no time at all. I could go through all of them, and First World War songs now. Well, by the way, then.
They all survived,
although one was really good. The film got back, and that was the mark of the raid. There were so many lost lives. There was about 25 to 30 men out of the village. They all volunteered when it first broke out. And I can remember the only transport way news from the village to Darlington was a horse-drawn brake. And we had this brake, and I can remember my three brothers, and I remember seeing them up in tears, of course. They used to walk in my feet. She didn't the dread of losing any of them. And they all went together. They made a brake up. There were 14 of them went together at the same age. There was about the only war memorial after the war was a plaque in the parish church at Stanley with the names on it. And I think there's 14 names on there. And that would lost their lives.
And it
would be a lot because there wouldn't be many more than that. My three brothers all survived. Most of them died. And some of them died after the war. They were gassed and they were ill. One or two. God damn, they gassed cases. Yes, most did. Yes, farm dotted round the outskirts of the village. And all of them.
Do you remember
the
time in the middle of the
Well, I was a child. Anything in the way of a ball game, right up to my adult life, I tend to be anything in the way of a ball game, I would have to play. Even when I was a teenager, I wouldn't bother with girls, I couldn't bother with it. My life was sport. I mean, football, cricket, tennis, anything as a way of ball games. And I loved sport. Had a good life as a teenager. When I left school, I started working with the local butcher. The butcher of the village. I didn't want to be a butcher, but it happened to be a job that was going, you see. 16. I went to school when I was 16. Because it was on the 14th. Well, I don't know. We had a very, very poor, very, very poor teacher for the last 4 years. Because of the change in the bad education we had. This fellow, the way village schools were run, usually, was a husband and wife, a headmaster, headmistress, and mistress. And she took the infant's part, and the master took the big room. From the infancy went standard one, standard two, and standard three, and that was all the way in the school. Standard three was
your two. So
No, I didn't have a chance. My last 4 years of my school life was absolutely ruined by a very, very poor teacher. Well, he was criminal. I was an avid reader. I read books, I read anything. I had a very good headmaster for 15, being 10 years old. And one of the things he drilled into us when whatever you're doing, read, 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 he said. Doesn't matter what it is, even if it's pretty horrible, so long as you read. And he was a very good teacher. He was severe, but he was a good, very good master. But it was a stepping stone for him. He finished up that master, he was in charge of a very good market boys' school, private boys' school. And he was thorough. But the one that came, he used to have a sort of a program. He started school there with, oh yeah, he had a church thing first. What did he call it? For an hour. Because he was a church school. Then he would set his one subject. What is it? Arithmetic. Then he must disappear. And he'd be out. He wouldn't go and see him, and he'd lunch time. And he'd be in the school like that. And he used to still have a life. He had a very good library. He lived at this good master organized, a very good library. And I would read, I would read every book in that library. I think when I was last 4 years. But we spent most of our day filling our time. And it was absolutely Well, I just grew up and we used to slaughter our own cattle. We used to kill a beast a week, 4 sheep, 2 pigs, and I became a slaughterer and everything else. I became very good at that. Also, you must remember. Whatever I was did in my life, I had to do it thoroughly. I wasn't satisfied if I didn't. and it meant it. You got involved in a lot of things that got a bit on top of you.
Did you
call your first name? It wasn't very nice. I was married when I was 25. And our first child a year after that. When I was called up at 29, I was only £2.4 a week. Our own meat. We had 2 children when I was called up.
What time did the working day start?
Or 8 o'clock. And we had to finish sometime at 12 o'clock at night. We had a round. We used to go around the villages with a horse and butcher's cart. Do you know what it is, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
A butcher's cart like this.
Saturday?
No. We used to finish at lunchtime on a Saturday. Had to, because I had to play cricket. Yes, and Rather than a very good village team. There was very often three jets in the village team.
And you remember that you took the bus to the right to the family?
Yeah. It was quite a bit.
Did you get
to the old man had died. Yeah, there were 2 sisters and an old aunt looked after them. And 2 sisters and a brother. And they were not married. And their parents, their fathers, their mother died when they were young, and their father was also a butcher. And he, like a lot of butchers, he fell out of the mutton of the trap and broke his neck. But the old man that I worked for, Robin, he was a well-learned man, a well-read man, and very interested in all sorts of subjects. But he had that. When he left school, he used to say, not to tell him. I think the village life went on very much Oh, yes, definitely, very much so. Mamma mia, you a great church person. When I was a good singer, I was in the choir and went for every single day. And I became noted as a very good little singer, you see. And by this woman in the village, it's stuck like the past. If we met her, I used to go out with my sister in the village and met the parson's wife, and she would ask me. She would have got me to say that I had to sing a song for her, so I didn't ask her to dance a song. I didn't know it was a dance song. When my sister told my mother that I had to sing to the vicar's wife, dear me. We didn't have anything like that. Nothing like that was all ever done in my mind. Mm. Mm. Yes, church in the morning. Church with the parish church was a mile out of the village. And I used to walk, there were just two of us, two little lads in the choir. And we used to walk to Stanley in the back on the morning, Sunday morning. Sunday school in the afternoon. Evening song at night in the choir again. And we used to sit up painful pleasure with two of us in the choir. We used to have various little games while singing, you see. And I enjoyed not singing. Well, she came into the village and swept me off my feet. I didn't get a look in. She seemed to be a really nice spot, and there it was. She came from Antipole, my wife. They'd had only five shops in Antipole. And they did retire, you see, and they came to live in the village. The old man bought the property in the village. Oh no, I like the company. All the tennis court and dancing. I love dancing. You know the village dances. They all dances, foxtrots and waltzes and waltz country dance. Oh, I love dancing. I love dancing with the girls as well, naturally. But they didn't play any good part in life. Told me, and I was alone after we were married, she said, how lonely she was when we moved to Alba, because she'd left all her friends at Hartlepool, and fewer than the one or two of the village girls tried to be friendly with her. One of them said once to me when she was talking about her coming to the village and getting to know people. One of the other lasses said, have you met Gordon Gent yet? And this is what Margaret told me, you see. And she said, no, I haven't met him yet. Oh, you have to meet Gordon Gent. He's great fun. Well, she did meet Gordon Gent, swept him off his feet. And 1934. No, but we soon got one. Well, we rented a little old cottage, first of all. A nice little cottage, which would have been occupied by a farm worker. And we came on the market, we soon got our own house. And then the eldest girl was born a year after that. She was born in 35. 24 when I was married, that's right. And then the other one was born in 38, the year before the war. My parents, my mother died in 1938, cancer, and my father couldn't be up to some of his daughters, and he would pack his house up and he would live with the family, so he loved one of them and the other. And he was happiest with us, my wife and I, because he was still older, you see. And he liked his pint, and he used to hobble across to the Stanic Arms there. He had about, what, less than a quarter of a mile to walk, and he did a lot of an hour and a half to walk. Finally, very quickly with arthritis. Well, not really, not, no. Which one? You mean the 49ers? Well, the Second World War. Oh, I knew the fight was coming. I knew all the called up. I was 29, and if I'd been turned 30, I would have been reserved occupation for so long anyway. But I was managing the business while I'd get on my own with just the two sisters and the old aunt. One of the sisters used to look after the shop in the village, the shop farm, and I would manage them sorting, cutting up, doing the rounds, making small room at the end back at 12 o'clock at night. So, well, you didn't get overtime. No question of overtime. Anyways, there's a job to be done. You did it, you know.
Where were you
in the war back in the day? The old man was alive. Mm. Yes, he was. The butcher was still alive then. Of course he was. He heard at night. Came back up into the dry night. He came back up off the land. Did we have radio then, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah, my old man, the butcher, was the first one I had set in the village. The wild set, they came on in America, and we heard it from the evening news. Well, it did everybody, wasn't it? It was serious. Oh, yes, I know. They wanted to get me signed, to get me reserved. And of course, you know, I wasn't going to cook, and as long as it's getting old, you see. And I said, I don't need to tell you, but I won't volunteer, so when he came along, and he died, and his sister, well, one sister died previously, and then there was just the sister who used to serve in the shop, and when I came out, of course there was no business left, because the old man had died, and there's another relative who wasn't butcher at all. Tried to carry it on, but it had the business gone. There wasn't a turnover. I mean, all the cousins, I was very popular with all my cousins, and we all had like to start up on my own. With no capital. Well, you see, they said, oh, it'll all be over by now.